I think that that's a matter of position and walking. So my position is that there is no condemnation against me. So if the devil goes in front of God and saying, look at what Nick did and everything, the Lord is going to say, no, it's already done. Mm. But for my walk, I can do mistakes. Mm-hmm. For example, it's always said, like, you are light, so walk as you were light. Mm-hmm. You are dead, so live as you were, as if the old man is dead. I mean, it is dead, but I don't know if it's really understandable. So according to my walk, there is reproach that I can do, and I have to go to a brother if he does a mistake to me to clarify the situation. That's what we talked about before. But in front of the eyes of God, I'm perfect.
There is a difference between condemnation and correction. In the case of Paul and Peter, he was correcting a brother who had erred. He was not accusing him or condemning him under judgment.
So this is really helpful to see. Sorry, go ahead. You go ahead first.
Paul says in verse 14, their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel. And I think that goes to what, I don't know.
Again, I'm sorry.
Their conduct was not in step with the gospel. I think that goes along with what he was saying about live according to your position.
What was the reference there again?
Verse 14 of Galatians 2.
And it says that Peter was condemned. So I think there is correction, but in this case, Paul is saying that he was condemned. So I don't really understand why, but.
Yeah, I think the clarification comes in some of the things that have already been said, which is, and you can add to this to connect us back with what you're going to say next, Tim, but the point is that there are these two parallel truths, which are what we are in Christ and how we behave in our daily experience. So I've often heard it position and condition, practice. Right? Position and practice, if you like alliteration. Position and condition, if you like rhyming. And it helps us understand that there are these two truths. And actually, this really makes Christianity so full of vitality and reality, because if we were trying to create a very simple set of religious beliefs, right? If we're trying to invent our own faith, we wouldn't make things this complex. We'd have a bunch of lists and rules, and if you do these things, right? That's why the law is attractive to our natural selves. But Christianity, it always has these, in many things, parallel truths that seem contradictory in some way, but living them out, it causes us to depend on the Lord, to accept the truth that God has declared is true, mm-hmm. and then at the same time to recognize that our position and practice, our position and our condition, we want them to be aligned, but if condition is not aligned, then we adjust it. And that does not take away from the facts of our position, nor from our responsibility. We wouldn't use a verse like Romans 8 if somebody says, hey, you know, you didn't really do that right. Oh, no, you can't condemn me. We wouldn't use it that way. That's not using the scriptures properly.
I was thinking of Job. Satan accused Job. Mm-hmm. And yet that was, the Lord was saying his position, and we see that his position before God is secure. But his practice, there were things in Job's life that Job needed to learn. Mm-hmm. And we see by the end of the book, he learns them, and the Lord's able to bless him. And so there's another example. But let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to try to speed up a little bit. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21.
For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
Okay, so what's our position there?
The literal righteousness of God.
Okay, what word do we put with that? We have been justified. Justification means to what?
Declare righteous?
To be declared righteous. God declares us. It's not that we are, because I'm not. Never will be. Never can be. But God declares me to be righteous. That's an amazing thing. That from God's perspective, God declares me to be righteous. But don't miss this. It's in Him. Amen. It's in the Lord Jesus. So because of the Lord Jesus, I've been declared righteous. Mm-hmm. Okay? Let's move on to the next one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2.
First Corinthians 1, verse 2. To the church of God that is in Corinth, and to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours.
Very good. So what do we get from there? We've been what? Positioned. Sanctified. What does that mean?
Set apart.
Very good. You said cleansed. You said set apart. Okay. A lot of times we say set apart. And what it really is, sanctification is not only to be set apart. I can set something apart and put it on the shelf and there it is. But that's not my Christian life. My Christian life is that I've been set apart by God positionally for a purpose. So sanctification is really to be set apart for a purpose. God has a purpose. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2:10 says, right? Unto good works. He has a purpose for us that we should walk there in, therefore in them, right? So He wants my life to be set apart for a purpose. That's positional sanctification. And without getting too involved, we know that there's practical sanctification then. Morally speaking, I need to be sanctified. I need to be holy for He is holy. I need to live that out. And then there's what is often called permanent sanctification. That's not going to happen in this life. But it will happen in a day to come. I remember the story of D.L. Moody. Some lady came up to D.L. Moody and says, I've arrived. I've done it. He said, what did you do? He said, I've been permanently sanctified. And he said, well, wait just a second. And he went and got a cup of water and brought it back and said, now what were you saying? And she said, oh, I've been sanctified. I've been permanently sanctified. So he throws the cup of water in her face. Now, supposedly, that's a true story. And she gets red hot mad. And he says, oh, remember, you're permanently sanctified. And he made the point. That's not going to happen while we're here. But when we think about the fact that positionally, let's just go back to positionally. Then I think Brother Sam has something down there. When we think about positional sanctification, that's in Christ, I've been set apart. In Christ, you've been set apart. In Christ, that brother or that sister that's different than me has been set apart. God loved them so much, He set them apart. Just as He loves me so much, He set me apart. We've been set apart together.